Okay, good morning, everybody. You're doing Chagiga Daf Dalet, Nashir, Masefta Chagiga, sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA. Always strives to make the results of your tax filings a good season for a Chagiga. And also, Refuah Shleima for Binyam and Simcha, Ben Adina, Minya. Breakfast, sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishma, Shrim and Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. So on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, on the bottom, we were left off in the middle of the definition of a shota. It's a very big issue that cuts across to so many different areas of halacha, and it's very relevant halacha lemaisa. It has to do with the standards necessary for somebody to be considered a bar das, somebody to have das. And das is reflected in different ways. The most significant way, Rashi gives you a few of them, not all of them. Rashi tells you a few of the consequences. And Gimel Amud Beis, Rashi says a few consequences of having das or not having das has to do with whether there's a liability for averos, a chiyav in mitzvos, whether the business transactions have validity. And that's really all he says. He doesn't add in a couple of the other issues, in particular edus. And so really the issue has to do with whether we consider the person to have das as measured by the question of whether they are can be held responsible for things, whether they understand possession, property, this type of thing, and also whether their judgments about the things going on around them can be trusted. Are they able to perceive, filter, and look at the world the way we think is the normal way to look at the world. And so we're told here that a shota doesn't do those kinds of things. Shota, it's not a question about whether they're smart. Shota is a question of whether they can look at the world the way the rest of us look at the world. And so it gives you some indicators over here of people who are living in the world but aren't really necessarily living in the same world that we're living in. So it gives these examples of that. And so on the bottom, we ended up by wondering about whether you have to exhibit all of these behaviors or only some of these behaviors. And after all, any one of these behaviors could be explained by even people who have das, who seem to look at the world the regular way, but they have some other reason why they're doing these things. Why? And what are the three indicators over here? Yotze Yechidi Belaila, somebody who is out at night on his own. Lan Beveis HaKvaros, sleeps in the cemetery. And Mekareya Ksuso, and tears his clothes and destroys his own property. And so the Gemara says, well, any one of these things could be explained differently. So we're here on the bottom, where it says, two lines up from the bottom, it says, V'hayotze yechidi b'layla. Maybe that by itself doesn't indicate anything. Emor gandripas achadei. Maybe he's seized by gandripas. But what's this gandripas that would explain why a person would have to be outside even at night, even alone? Rashi gives you two interpretations. One interpretation, he says, is, I heard it refers to somebody who is suffering from something that essentially we would say depression. I don't exactly know whether depression would lead a person to be walking around by himself at night, but I don't really have any clinical experience with these things. So maybe. Rashi then gives a different interpretation. He says, I don't know, maybe we're just talking about somebody who is like in a fever. He's hot. So he needs to cool off. Goes outside, cools off. I don't exactly know why that means he has to roam around, but he just, I don't know. Anyway, on the side, the Jastrow quotes a kind of a funny interpretation over here. That from Rishonim, that maybe, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe he's a werewolf. That's Jastrow's interpretation. In any case, okay, I don't exactly know why that would make it better. So he's not. So now he's not a shota anyway. Anyway, so whatever. So Amakareas Kasusa, we can explain that also. Maybe the person who's tearing his clothes, who's destroying his property, Amar Balmach Shavasu. Maybe he's just absent-minded. He's not noticing what he's doing. He's living in his own thoughts. Now, that's not an indication of shtus, of shota. And the Gemara says, well, that's why maybe you would need all three. Given the avdinu lekulhu, if you're going to exhibit all of these behaviors, and it seems pretty clear, incidentally, that you're exhibiting these behaviors repeatedly, not just on any one single occasion. So then, avalu kamisha nagaf shor chamor vegamal v'nasa muad lakol. So if you're going to exhibit all of these, then you can't explain away why you're doing one or the other of these things with its own specific reason. You'd have to kind of acknowledge that it means that person is a shota. So the expression the Gemara gives is it's like a shor that's nogeach, a shor and a chamor and a gamal, which makes him a shor muad and not specific to any one species of victim. And so the fact that even once he's nogeach the shor and then the chamor and then a gamal, so then that shows that you can't explain the negicha by based on having any particular preference. So it's muad lakol. Same kind of a concept over here. So anyway, I'm a rapapa. So I'm done daftal and I'm a second line. Rapapa. The Amora Rapapa says, if you remember, look back on Gimel Amud Beis, the question about whether you had to exhibit all of these or only one of these was a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan against Rav Huna. Rabbi Yochanan said, even one of these, if you repeatedly express any one of these behaviors, then you're a shota. Rav Huna said, no, you have to have all of these. So now Rav Papa is saying, Ishmielei le Rav Huna hadisanya. If Rav Huna had only been aware of a braisa that says, Eizehu shota zeh ma'abed es kol ma she'enosnim lo, that a shota is somebody who doesn't understand, I don't know, the value of property and will destroy anything that he gets his hands on. So that's called a shota. That's a shota. How do you explain this behavior? There's no way. Just the person is he's out of his mind. Out of his mind is a funny expression. You know, in our world, we have clinical definitions for things, we have technical labels, and so the poskim try to define shota in ways that we could kind of understand, rather than just saying things like crazy. Crazy is not really gonna do it. So I know at least one posek talks about shota as being autistic, somebody who's on the spectrum somewhere, far enough along on the spectrum. Where and somebody has to make this determination in any individual case that they seem to meet these criteria, whatever they are. Person doesn't seem to be living in the world the same as everybody else, and so maybe this. I don't know enough about it. I don't know enough about autism to know whether this is one of the typical symptoms, whether you need to have a whole confluence of indicators. I don't know. In any case. Ma'abed kol ma she'enosnim lo. Ma'abed kol ma she'enosnim lo. So it says in the Braisa that that's sufficient by itself to make the person treated like a shota. So Rav Papa says that if Rehun only knew about this Braisa, have a harbe, he would have changed his mind. He wouldn't have insisted on all of these behaviors, because even that one behavior by itself is sufficient. So now Iboilehu, so they were wondering when Rav Papa said that Rehun only said what he said because he didn't realize this braisa, but he would have changed his mind if he had known about this braisa. Iboilehu, ki hava harbe b'mekarek susahu de hava harbe? The damilaha? What would he have changed his mind about? Would he have changed his mind about all three of these things, that it's sufficient to have only one of these behaviors? Or was it only that one? In other words, one of the three is to destroy his own property. So is that the only one he would have changed his mind on? But if the other one, if all he's doing is lan bevesak varos, would that also make him into? And it's a kind of a theoretical question. What would Rav Huna have said if he had known about this braisa with respect to the other things? The Gemara says, well, how are we supposed to know? Dilma mikolu have a harer teku, or would he have changed his mind about the insistence of requiring a combination of factors? That one by itself, but. But maybe lan bevesa kvaras and yotzei yichidi v'layla, maybe that would have been, you would have had to exhibited both. Anyway, teiku.
So are we left like more confused than ever? The Gemara seems to focus on Rav Huna as opposed to Rav Yochanan.
Yeah. Right. In other words, you're saying that now that what are the Rishonim going to be doing lehalacha on this definition? Are they going to follow Rav Huna because the Gemara over here seems to emphasize Rav Huna's shita? Are we going to follow Rav Yochanan because we almost always follow Rav Yochanan and things that he says? Well, we're going to follow Rav Yochanan. So it's not going to matter too much to us what Rav Huna would have held because it's a theoretical question. But we're passing Rav Yochanan in any case. Okay, Turatz, Tumtum v'Androgynous. Back to the Mishnah, says that Tumtum v'Androgynous don't have to do Aliyah L'Regla Pata from Re'iyah, don't bring Karbanos. So Tana Rabbanan. Bryce now explains more about this. Pasuk says, Shalosh P'yamim v'shana yere'eh kol zechurcha, Shalosh regalim v'shana yere'eh kol zechurcha. So this word zechur means males. Right, all the males. Lahotzi es hanashim. So that means women are exempt. But it says zechurcha, even more limited, lahotzi tumtum v'androgynous. Not only the definite males, but even the marginal or questionable males. What's a tumtum and what's an androgynous? A tumtum and androgynous are both individuals that have some kind of deformed reproductive organs. So the tumtum, I don't really know the anatomy or physiology of this, but it's that the tumtum is somebody whose lower part of the body has some kind of skin tissue that covers over the genitals, and that you can't entirely tell what's going on beneath that growth of skin. And so, we would have to do some kind of a surgery to expose the genitals from beneath, and then we'd find out whether it's a zachar or a keva. But before you do that, you don't know. And of course, they presumably were reluctant to do any kind of surgery because they didn't want to have to, they don't have to do any damage there. So a tumtum theoretically could grow up and live for a long time without knowing. Androgynous is somebody who exhibits both sets of genitals. I don't know really enough about this. So, but this is apparently some kind of a well-known condition, hermaphroditism, that you have both. So the point is that it's really hard to label. The tumtum, you really just don't know what we're talking about, whether it's zachar or nekeva. And the androgynous, you know exactly what you're talking about. You just don't know what status the hermaphrodite has. So in any case, the pasuk is excluding both from aliyah l'regel. So it says that's the zechurcha lahotzi tumtum v'androgynous. Kozechurcha includes people who otherwise would be excluded, that you might think. L'rabos is a ketanim. Kozechurcha includes ketanim. So like the Torah, this is all drasha. So when you have a drasha, it's a real din d'oraisa. So that seems to be that min haTorah you have to bring ketanim. Amar mar. Now the Gemara, this is now the Gemara talking, saying, well, let's look at that braisa again. Zachar lahotzi es hanashim. We have a pasuk that excludes women from aliyah l'regel. Alama likra. Gemara says, what do you have to have a pasuk to tell me that? That would have been known just from regular principles of halacha. Michdi mitzvah saseh shazman gramahu. After all, aliyah l'regel is a classic example of a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. What's the mitzvah saseh? Yerai kol zechorcha. And it's zman grama, because it's only on the chag, only on the regal. The chol mitzvah saseh shazman grama nashim peturas. That's the Mishnah in Kiddushin. And Rashi tells you it's based on a drasha, based on a number of psukim. It says the alfina love the Kiddushin. The Gemara has a number of makoros for this principle, but it seems to be unanimous that women are exempt from mitzvah saseh that are zman grama. So I already on my own wasn't going to expect women to do aliyah l'regel, so I don't need a pasuk to exclude women. The Gemara says, well, no, not necessarily. Sometimes the Chumash will make a drasha, will say something to explicitly issue a ruling regarding a case that you would have known on your own anyway because you would have perhaps had reason to say the reverse. So even if even if it's not compelling the reverse, and you wouldn't have on your own necessarily said the reverse, but you might have said the reverse. And therefore, in order to eliminate that possibility, the Chumash will sometimes explicitly state its ruling regarding something. Namely, what? It's terich. Selkadaita chamina nelef ri'a ri'a mehakel. Well, because, you know, I have reason to think that I would connect the mitzvah aliyah leregel on the regel, on the chag, to hakel, which is a mitzvah every 7 years, and the Chumash is explicit. Hakel asa'am ha'anashim, vihanashim, vihataf. Women are included in hakel. That's explicit in the Chumash. And so since there's a reason to suspect that I should connect hakel to aliyah leregel, I might have thought that women should be obligated in aliyah leregel also. So that's why, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, that's why after the pasuk says zechor, only the men, not the women. So what would I have thought? Salka daita chamina, neila for iya mehakel, malo halo, nashim chayavos, afka nashim chayavos. So that's why kamash malan, that's why the pasuk told me zechor to exclude women, back to the way it would have in any case thought of my own, if not for the possible connection to hakel. So now that was the first discussion on that brisa. Amar Meir, let's look back at that same brisa. Zechor cha, lohosi tumtum v'androgynous. That brisa also said that the pasuk zechor cha is telling me that drasha is made that I exempt tumtum and androgynous from aliyah leregel. So that makes us wonder, well, what? Let's say we had no information about this. What would we have said about tumtum and what would we have said about androgynous? So androgynous, like I say, we're not 100% sure where we stand on the status of an androgynous. So if androgynous has the halacha of male, because after all, the androgynous has male genitals, so maybe they have a status of male, and therefore maybe the androgynous is obligated, maybe. And the tumtum, I don't know what the tumtum is. Maybe the tumtum is a male. You just don't know. So what would I have said on my own, given those cases? So it says here, Bishlama androgynous itzterich. Okay, I understand why the Chumash had to say an exemption for androgynous. If it wants to exempt androgynous, it has to say so. Because why? Because itzterich, the Torah would have had to say that. Desalka daita chamina hoel v'is leitzad zachrus lichayev. The androgynous, I might have made a case, that since the androgynous does have male genitals, he should have to be treated like a male and have to go aliyah leregel. So kamash malan, that's why the pasuk is saying, no, the androgynous doesn't have to go. The beria b'fnei atzmohu. This is a broader question that other gemaras really raise this question, you know, with specifically with respect to androgynous. What really is the status? The gemara has different opinions about that, and over here the gemara is saying that, well, the fact that the Chumash exempts the androgynous means that you don't treat the androgynous like a zachar, you don't treat the androgynous like an akeva, it's like its own classification. It's like this male, female, and androgynous. So the androgynous is exempt. So I understand why there's a pasuk to exclude it, and why the Brisa has to say that that's what the pasuk is doing. It's excluding androgynous. But alatumtum sfekahu. But why did the pasuk have to exempt the tumtum, at least the way the Brisa presents it? Tumtum sfekahu. The whole point of this tumtum is that you don't know what he or she is. Meitzterich karalim ute sveka. If not for the pasuk to exempt, what would I have said? Would I have said that you had to obligate the tumtum to go aliyah leregel misafek? So this is pretty fascinating. I don't know. If we took a vote around the table, what would, if the tumtum asked, what do I have to go? And we would kind of say, well, you're a tumtum, right? So you might be a zacha, right? So you better go. So that's how the Gemara here says. And where it says, what would I need the pasuk to exempt? I wasn't going to send the tumtum in any case because it's the rechkralim ute sveka. Because the tumtum is a safek, so you don't need a pasuk to release the tumtum from going aliyah leregel when you don't know. It's pretty unbelievable. I don't know. We would have said, yeah, you better go. So Tosfos just makes a comment over here that, well, no, you can't go. Remember, going, and this is going to become more explicit in Amud Beis, going is not just, you know, roaming around and saying hi to everybody and leaving. You have to bring korbanos, and there's an expectation that when you bring the korban, you're going to have to do smicha on the korban. And the Gemara later on in Chagiga is going to discuss, well, what happens with women who don't do smicha on korbanos? So they wouldn't. So, but if we're not sure what the tumtum is, so you're gonna run into trouble with the karban. When you run into trouble with the karban, that kind of rolls it back to, well, then you better not go at all. And so that's why Tosfos says we wouldn't be sending the tumtum. Rashi doesn't say it that way. Rashi has a different slant on this, which is pretty fascinating. He says, well, Rashi says, Meheicha teisi lan lechayuve. Why would I have told the tumtum he has to go, since we're not sure he has to? That's an old question. We usually are used to the idea that Sfeika deoraisa is lechumra, that whenever you're not sure if there's a mitzvah deoraisa compelling you, that you better play it safe and go. Rashi seems to be taking the view here that, well, the Torah itself is not behind that policy. The Torah doesn't have that policy. The Torah wouldn't insist that you have to go misafik. And so you don't need the Torah exempting the tumtum, because anyway, the Torah wouldn't have insisted the tumtum have to go because they're suffik. That's what it looks like.
Huge ramifications.
Yep, huge ramifications. Doesn't matter. The Chazal anyway impose our familiar policy, which is whenever you have a suffik about the Raisa, you do have to be played safe and go. Just the question was, like, theoretically, was it the Torah that insisted on that policy or the Chazal insisted on the policy? Either way, the policy is in effect. So it's not such big ramifications right now. It's just more academic. Like things like, is there going to be a pasuk to tell me that a suffik doesn't have to be treated like a vadid, that the suffik can be makel? All right. In any case, so that's the problem. Problem is, do you need a pasuk? So what does the Braisa say that the Chumash is excluding the tumtum? My answer is, Amar Abaye, kesha beitzav mi bachutz. Well, let's even say you do know that, let's say there is, that this tumtum, you can tell, is a zachar, right? So beitzav mi bachutz. So this tumtum is only partially concealed, but and the testicles are visible. So that means that you can really tell that this is a zachar. So you would have to insist on the zachar going. So no, nevertheless, it's an exemption. Okay, so that's like an achok that the tumtum is exempt, even if you know it's a zachar. Okay, Amar Mar. Back to that braisa again. Cause of Chorcha is the Rabos Ketanim. So this is also troublesome. Every rule, every drasha that Braisa presented is trouble. So this third one now is Marbe Ketanim, that kids have to go Aliyah L'Regel. So the problem is, how can kids have to do anything? Kids don't even have mitzvos. So how could there be a pasuk that says, no, the kids have to go. L'Rabos Esa Ketanim. V'hatanam, but after all, we know in our Mishnah, Chutz Mecher Shod V'Katan, our Mishnah says it's not true. That the cotton doesn't have a mitzvah liya l'regel. So that goes against his braisa. And anyway, it was obvious that the kid didn't be required to go. Amar Abaye, Abaye explains, Lokashe ha kan bekatan shegiya l'chinach, kan bekatan shelo gegiya l'chinach. Abaye says, well, we're talking about a mitzvah schinach, and chinach only begins when the kid is old enough for chinach to be meaningful or relevant. When you get to Davav, you get a lot more quality information about the mitzvah of chinuch. Over here, the point is just being raised kind of minimally, that chinuch begins when a kid is old enough for chinuch to be applicable. And so when you have very little kid, there's no mitzvah of chinuch. And that's why our Mishnah begins with chereshotavik katan. That katan is not the typical katan who's under bar mitzvah. That cotton would be a very little kid. But once a kid is old enough, nigia lechinach, the kid has a chinach obligation, then that's what this braisa is referring to. Kol zechorcha includes that. Gemara says that doesn't answer the question. Gemara says, but katan sheigia lechinach is drabanan. The whole obligation for any kid to do mitzvos, even mitam chinuch, is only the rabbanon. The chumash does not mandate any kid under bar mitzvah who's not a bar das to do anything, because you can't hold the kid responsible in any case. There's no imperative. You can't give any obligations under bar mitzvah. So the fact that the chazal demand it, that doesn't mean that there could be a pasuk that demands it also. The pasuk doesn't have that. Kanshigi lechinuch is a mitzvah de rabbanon. The Gemara says, well, yeah, that's true. And Enachinami, yes, that is in fact true, that the obligation of kids to do Aliyah L'Regel is only the Rabbana. Vikra, so that Pasuk call wasn't really a drasha, it's an Asmachta B'Almahu. Sometimes the Gemara will quote, Abraisa will quote a Pasuk as a source for a din, the Rabbana, and it can't be a drasha, it's only Asmachta. Hard to tell the difference, like in our case. Gemara says, well, so wait a minute. So v'yala korala mayasa. So then what is the pasuk actually being marbe? What's the real drasha if chinuch is only the asmachta? Gemara says, oh, the real drasha, well, that's this. Look at yacherim. It's telling me the following rule. Disnan, like it says later on, or disanya, and of Zion, it says, acherim omrim hamekameitz v'hametzareif v'nechoshes v'haborsi p'torim min ha-re'iya v'shem shenemar kol zechorcha. Let's say your job is a job that smells and it makes you smell. You walk around smelling and people can't stand being around you. And so if you're going to be going up a Lila Regal, that's going to make trouble. What trouble is that going to make? Well, it's going to make other people regret going and hate their experience there. Anyway, that kind of a thing. And so we don't want to deter people from going and whatever. So the point is that you don't want to deter people from coming up. That's why they have all kinds of things to facilitate the Aliyah Regal. And so if you're somebody that's going to be offensive to other people because you're smelly, so you're pater. So that comes from Kol Zechurcha. Misha Yochala Alosim Kol Zechurcha Yatzu Elu She'enam Re'uyim La Alosim Kol Zechurcha. Right. So that's what are these things? Mekametz and Mitzarif and Echoshes and Borsi. The Borsi is the tanner of leather. It works with animal hides. That's pretty smelly, and then you soak them. And the Mekametz apparently works with feces, with animal excrement, and because that has some kind of useful properties. Also, in terms of leather working, and the Mitzarif Nechoshes is interesting. That's if you're working in the it's not exactly the mines, it's more like in the metal works, that apparently that stinks. I don't really know enough about it, but so you smell. Anyway, so it comes out at this point that the one drasha that you make from Kol Zechurcha is to exclude people from Aliyah L'Regel if they smell bad, if they are intolerable to other people. The Rambam does not quote this. Rambam says, You're chayiv to make yourself smell good and to make yourself bearable and then to go up. So, okay, so a lot of the commentaries wonder, how'd the Rambam get that from this? But anyway.
So the term Rabbanan back, which is Zechorcha by the Rabbanan, so it's Nasmachta.
The Chinuch Halacha from that original Braisa is not a drasha. It's just an Nasmachta, because Chazal made up the mitzvah of Chinuch. So what really was the drasha? So this thing. It wasn't Marbe, it was Memait. All right, two dots. Nashim yavarim she'ena meshuchrarim. It says slaves that aren't freed are exempt. Women are exempt, and slaves that aren't freed are exempt. Bishlama nashim kidi amaran. Okay, women are exempt because women aren't exempt. Women are exempt from Aliyah L'Regel, like we said above, because it says in the pasuk explicitly. Ela avarim inalan. How do you know slaves don't have to go? Amar Rav Huna, the Amora Rav Huna says the pasuk. El Pnei Ha'aron Hashem. You have to go Aliyah L'Regel to go and appear in front of the boss, God. So what does that sound like? It sounds like Misha Ein Lo Ela Adon Echad. It's if your only boss is God, Yatzezeh She'ish Lo Adon Acher. Not like the slave who has another boss. The slave has another boss. This slave we're talking about is Neved Kenaini Adon, that has not just a boss that tells him what to do, but an owner. So he has another owner. So the Gemara asks, wait, hold on a second. That can't be necessary, because without the pasuk, that was what I was going to say on my own anyway about the slave, because there's a policy of slaves. Halam ali kara. I don't need this pasuk. Mifti. Kol mitzvah shel isha chayeves ba eved chayev ba. We have a policy also that what are the mitzvos that are incumbent upon non-Jewish slaves that a Jewish person owns? So the halacha requires that when you own a slave, when you purchase or obtain a slave who's not Jewish slave, you capture them, whatever, you have to convert them into slavery. Converting a slave into slavery is a partial conversion into Judaism. That it's the one instance where you can convert somebody who's unwilling to go along. We didn't initiate the conversion. And so when you forcibly convert the person into partial Jewish slavery, then they become obligated to keep mitzvos, at least to the extent of kol mitzvah she'ein isha chayeves ba, ein eved chayev ba. He's obligated to keep mitzvos to the extent of a woman, a Jewish woman. So therefore, since the Jewish woman is exempt from aliyah l'regel, so that should carry over to the slave too. The gomer la me'isha. How did we know that that's the case about the slave? Because the gzer shava chup shalo nitan la, and I don't know, pasuk la me'isha, what does it say? Kasev la seva krisis, as Rashi gives, I think. So any case, so that's the problem. The problem is that Rav Huna should not have explained that the exemption of the slave is from this pasuk Adon Hashem, that only when your boss is God, but not the Eved. He should have just said, because that's the rule of Eved Kenayni, he only has mitzvos ke'isha, and women are exempt from aliyah l'regel, so automatically the slave is exempt. Ravina, and we know about this Ravina, because this Ravina was already quoted 2 weeks ago on Daf Beis. Ravina says, we're not talking about a slave. We're talking about a half-slave. Lo nitzucha ela l'misha chetzio Eved v'chetzio ben chorin. A person who's a half-slave, half-free, so now it's not so obvious that that person should be treated like a regular slave. After all, they're partially free, so they have to keep mitzvos like a free person. So if that's the case, they should have to go aliyah l'regel. So we're being told no, because they have another boss. They have another owner. They're not their own person. Dekanami dekatani nashim v'yavarim she'enem eshechrarim. And the truth is that this seems to be pretty clear just from the wording of the Mishnah in any case, because it says slaves who aren't free. What does that mean, slaves who aren't free? We mean that slaves who aren't free at all? That's slaves. There are no free slaves. They're free or they're slaves. Listen to Yavadim Stama. That's what slaves are. So obviously by saying slaves who aren't freed, that means they aren't completely free, they're partially freed.
But didn't we say in the
Sitrishan
that the
Bethlehem
were forced
over? Exactly so.
So the Gemara
exactly so. So you're pointing out that this Gemara over here seems to say that the Chatzi Chatzi is exempt. The Gemara on Daf Bey said that that's true, but the first line implies that that is no longer true. So that's bright. This Mishnah already by itself is kind of internally contradictory, the Gemara says. It reflects two policies, the early policy and the later policy. And by the time you get to the later policy, you're pointing out, we said in any case, the chatzi chatzi is obligated by virtue of the fact that you don't really have another boss, because your boss is not allowed to enslave you, because we compel the boss to release you. So, yeah, that's true. So by the time you get to the end, it looks like this wouldn't be true anymore. And Rashi points that out. Rashi just points out, Miyu l'mishnah achrona, ho'ol b'yadenu l'chufas rabo chayiv. Deinu elu adon echad. Okay, just like you said. All right, to that. So, achigir v'asuma v'achola v'hazakein. Okay, these are other exemptions, other categories of exemption. Namely, chigar, somebody who's crippled, suma, can't see, chola, somebody who's too ill to make the trip, and zakein, somebody who is elderly and is also unable. These are all like the same category. It means people who can't make the trip, except suma is different. Two dots. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Let's see, the Braisa also goes through a lot of these things and gives more details. Now, here's what it says. Regalim, Pasuk says, Yaliyah l'regel l'shalosh regalim. So that word regalim, prat lebali kavin. That exempts somebody who doesn't have legs. It doesn't have a leg. He has a wooden leg, a peg leg, or a prosthetic leg. So that would not count. So you would not be obligated to go aliyah l'regel, even though you could make it because you can get around, but you don't happen to have your own natural feet. And like we said earlier, this came up also in the previous daf last week. Davar acher regalim prat lechiger ulechola ulesuma ulezakin shein yachal alos beraglav. Okay, well, alternatively, it means somebody who just can't walk on their own power. If you're chigar, chola, suma, zake, and you're not really able to make it on your own, so then you'd be exempt. You don't have to exert yourself, in other words, or get somebody else to bring you there. That wouldn't That wouldn't be necessary. V'she'ena yochel alos biraglav le'asuyei mai. So we just had a list of people, right? We just gave a list of people. Chigar, chola, suma, zaked, and also somebody who can't go on his own. Well, we just listed all the people who can't go on his own. What is that last category? And somebody who can't go on his own. La'asuyei mai. What is that including? Amarava liyasuyei mifanki. Rava says, that just means somebody who's too delicate, too fastidious, somebody who would never tolerate. So different interpretations. Rashi says, wouldn't tolerate walking around barefoot, which is what you have to do, walk around the Beis HaMikdash, and so, or even Rashi says Harabayis. So you'd be exempt. Even though just like a personal preference. But I guess it has to be something a little bit more than just personal preference. It has to be something that you really are affected by walking around barefoot. It's just, it's too difficult for you to do that. Dechsiv. Like it says in the pasuk, "Kisavol yeraos panai mi bikesh zos miyadchem remos chatzirai." This sounds like, this pasuk sounds like it's saying that you walk around in shoes. It's like you're just trampling on my mikdash, and so I don't know who needs you to come get away. We're gonna quote this pasuk again later, in a Gadic context. Okay, Tana. Okay, here's a brisa that adds additional categories. So, RL ve'atame peturim min ha'ra'iyah. An RL is a man who did not have a bris milah, and tame is not his tame. Peturim min ha'ra'iyah. You don't have a mitzvah aliyah l'regel. So, bishlamet tame dechsiva basa shama v'havesim shama. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to work this out. Tameh and Arel, these categories. So it says, I understand Tameh is exempt from Aliyah L'Regel, right? Why is Tameh exempt? Dechsivu v'asa shama v'aveisam shama. Kol she'yeshna, the pasuk says, L'shichna v'sidrashu v'asa shama v'aveisam shama olasechem v'zivcheichem. It's just talking about the Bechira of Malkum HaMikdash. That's a place to go and to bring your korbanos. So it says here, if you can go, then you have to bring your karbanos. If you're not going, you don't have to bring the karbanos. So that equation of going with the karbanos, if you go, you bring your karbanos. If you don't go, you don't have to bring the karbanos. That's what Tosas quoted here earlier on the Beis Amrav to show that when the Mishnah says, those two go together, going and bringing the Olas Re'iyah, goes together. So if you're exempt from one, you're exempt from the other. If you have an exemption from going, then that means you don't have to send an olas re'iyah either. In any case, so that's obvious that if you can't go because you're tamei, and we have this equation here that if you can't go, if you don't go, you don't bring your korban. So you don't even have to send the korban through a shaliach. Tosas, incidentally, here on the side, as a whole thing, from about 4 months ago, we learned in the end of Moed Katan that a Mitzorah was also Tameh. Question is, does the Mitzorah send his Korbanos? So why does the... And the Gemara says over there, yes, that the Mitzorah does send the Korbanos, you know, Al-Yidei HaShaliach. So how does this relate to that? Anyway, Tosas works on that. So the... So our Gemara says, okay, so you understand why the Tameh is exempt from all of the details of Aliyah L'Regel. Going there, because you can't, the Tameh. That's the end of Shiluach Ben HaMachana. Shiluach Ben HaMachana, and if the Tameh is not allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Har HaBayis, and the Azara. And some Tameh are not allowed to be in Yerushalayim at all. Ela Arel Minalan. But why would the Arel be exempt from Aliyah L'Regel? Where did that come from? Well, this reflects Rabbi Akiva's shita, who holds that the RL is like Tamei. The Sani Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ish Ish. The Rabbi says the RL. The Pasuk says, Ish Ish, who has a tzaruah, v'azavich, al-tamei l'nefesh, you have to send him out of the machane. It's Shiluach machane. Rabbi Akiva says that includes the Rabbi says the RL. RL also is not allowed to be in the machane. Rashi, incidentally, over here, defines the RL. Why isn't the person have a milah? What's stopping the person from getting a milah? Rashi says, because Mesuechav Machmas Mila. Rashi over here says that this is an RL who would be very happy to do a Mila, wants to do mitzvos. Is not a mummer, liarelus, the person would do mitzvos, would get a mila, just that it's too dangerous. And so he has an exemption based on onus. And nevertheless, we're still calling the person to be arel ketame, and not allowed to be in Beis HaMikdash, even though it's not his fault or anything. Okay, not everybody agrees like that. I think Tosas quotes Rabbeinu Tam is different shita on this. In any case, all right, Tana Rabbanan. Tamei parter min ha-re'iyah, d'chsiva basa shama v'havesim shama, kol she'yeshna b'viyah, yeshna b'havah, kol she'ena b'viyah, ena b'havah. So here we have a braisa. It says what we just said. Tamei is exempt from aliyah l'regel, because you can't be there, and therefore you don't have any karbanas either to bring. Rabbi Yochanan ben d'havah yomer, mishim Rabbi Yehuda, summa b'yachas me'enav, new categories. Rabbi Yochanan ben d'havah yomer, mishim Rabbi Yehuda, Summa biyachas me'inav. A person is partially blind. There's no sight in one eye. Pater min ha-re'iyah. We saw this also on Daf Beis. Shenamar yira yira'eh. Like the pasuk says yira'eh, but it's spelled yira'eh, which is also yira'eh. And so it's as if the Chumash is trying to convey that you go to see and be seen. You go to the Mikdash to see and be seen. Kederach Sheba, something, Kachba, the other thing. So it all gears the question, which thing is the first thing and which thing is the second thing? But it essentially means the same thing. It's obvious from the spirit over here of what it's trying to say. Just as you go to be seen by Hashem, to appear in front of Hashem, like the Chumash is saying, Le'ros es Pnei Hashem, to appear in front of Hashem, Kachba Liros, you have to go and see. Well, to see what? To see Hashem. That's what some of the Mefarshim point out. They put on a show, actually, in the Beis HaMikdash. When the Olei Regalim come, they're supposed to put on a show. They're supposed to show the freshness of the Lechem Apanim and to show other kinds of things going on around the Beis HaMikdash. So there's something to see. But the point is that the Drasha, simply without paying attention to what they're seeing, is that just like you're seen with Mishtei Einav, Af Liros Mishtei Einav. Okay, so two eyes. So Gzeres HaKasiv. Rav Huna, that's it for the halacha of the rest of the daf. Now it's like Agadatha. So Rav Huna, when Rav Huna ki mati laikra, when he would encounter this pasuk, the Yira Yira pasuk, bachi, that would drive him to tears. He would cry about the tragedy of what's happened over the years. Amar Eved Sherabu Mitzapelo Liroso. He said, look, the conditions which at one time the slave which the owner was looking forward, was eagerly anticipating the arrival of the Eved to come to Aliyah L'Regel, Yisrachek Mimenu. He's been driven away. D'chsiv kisavo liros panai. Like the pasuk in Yeshayah says, you come to visit me. Mi bikesh zos biyadchem remos chatzeiroi. Who invited you here to trample on my property? Get away. So that's such a tragic turn of history. Rav Huna, kimati lahaikra bachi. So once we're on the subject of tragic psukim, which drive people to tears, so let's see some others. Rav Huna would also, kimati lahaikra bachi, he would cry in this pasuk also, v'zavachta shlamim v'yachalta sham. You bring your karbanas there. You eat your karbanas there. Eved sherabu mitzapeh le'chol al shulchano yisrachek mimenu. Same kind of a thing, where the psukim describe the how happy it is that Hashem is that you bring your karbanos, and now is driven away. D'chsiv lama li rov zivcheichem yomar Hashem. I don't need your karbanas, Hashem says. Keep them to yourself. Rabbi Elazar kimati lahai kra bachi. Rabbi Elazar would cry on the following pasuk. Lo yachlu echav la'anososo. Pasuk vayigash, when Yosef exposes his identity to the brothers and he says, I'm your brother Yosef that you sold down here to Mitzrayim. Velo yachlu echav la'anososo. They were so struck by that they couldn't respond. Ki nivhalu mipanav. They were so shaken by, or whatever, they were so awed by him. Umat tochacha shel basar v'dam kach, the So now he says, just consider this. Look what effect tochacha has when it's a just and apt rebuke, and you see the justice of it yourself. You're completely stunned because you have no defense. You have no excuse for whatever you did when you're confronted by the consequences of your actions. And that drives you to kind of being shocked, stunned silence. So, tochacha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, alachas kama v'kama. Imagine what it's going to be like when Hashem confronts you with your own shortcomings. Rabbi Elazar kimati lahai kra bachi. Rabbi Elazar would cry and would be driven to tears when he would consider the following pasuk. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul. This was the episode when Shaul was all in a panic over the impending battle, and he thought that he has a solution. He couldn't get any information from the Urim V'Tumim, and he was driving blind. And so he felt in desperation he would go and seek a sorceress to bring Shmuel HaNavi back to give guidance from the dead, from the grave. So he goes, seeks out a woman who is a necromancer, and even though he drove out all the necromancers, so she was really a covert, she was hiding. And so, so in any case, the story goes on to say, this was the woman from Endor. She says that she sees Shmuel, and Shmuel says to Shaul, Lama here gaz tani la alososi. Why'd you have to shake me up this way and bring me back up? So Mashmuel at Tzadik haya misyare min adin. We're talking about Shmuel HaNavi. What was he all shaken up about being summoned? Haya misyare min adin. The point is that he was afraid that he was being called to judgment again. So what? So if you were Shmuel HaNavi, would you really have been afraid of judgment? Anu, and if he was afraid, so where does that leave us? Alachas kama v'kama. Gemara says, what? Where do you get the idea that Shmuel was being afraid of being called to judgment? Shmuel mayhi d'chsiv, because the pasuk earlier says, v'tomer ha'ishal shol, Elohim ra'isi olim. Right, I see great people rising. As far as we're concerned, you know, this was all a big fake and a ruse, but at least, in any case, this is the image that the psukim are describing. What did she see? Olim. So what's the Olim? Olim Trei Mashma. Why is she seeing two? Chad Shmuel. One of them, of course, was Shmuel. So the Idach. So who's the other one? So this is what the Gemara is saying. Well, that means that the other one was Shmuel went when he was being summoned, and immediately he grabs on to Moshe Rabbeinu. The ICA le Moshe Bahadei. Omer le, Dilma Chaster Shalom le Dina Kamita Abina. Maybe they're bringing me again to judgment. So I want you to be with me. Kum Bahadoi, Dilaka Milsa de Kasvis Bia Raisa Dilokiamtia. I want you to be there who will be ready to testify that I did not neglect anything that you wrote in your Torah. Mefarshim over here have different opinions about what could Moshe say about this. I mean, was he watching? How could he testify? Hearsay evidence? Circumstantial evidence? Was he watching? Anyway, the Mefarshim here have different interpretations of what that was. But you see over here, he grabs Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk, you know, puts Shmuel and Navi together with Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk, like we say on Shabbos morning, Pasuk de Zimra. And the point of this is that if he was himself so panicked about being called to din, so us, alachas kama v'kama. Rabbi Ami kimata la'aykara bachi. Itein be'afar pihu ulayesh tikva. Pasuk talks about the tragedy of the Churban and sin and all that, and we say, and the Pasuk says, Yitain be'afar piyu ulayesh tikva. Gravel in the dirt and put dirt in your mouth. Maybe that will accomplish something. Amar, he'd say, Kuli hai v'ulai. Things are so bad that even with this type of degradation, and still ulai, and still you're not confident that it'll accomplish enough. Rabbi Ami kimata lahai krabachi. Bakshu tzedek, bakshu anava, ulai tisteru b'yam af Hashem. Same kind of a thing. You better Better look for justice and look for tzidkus. Maybe that will help when Hashem is angry. Amar kuli hai ve'ulai. Do all of these things and still it's only possibly going to be successful. Rabbi Yassi kimati lahaikra. That was all. It's all. These are all kind of terribly terrifying types of images that they are conjuring. Rabbi Yassi kimati lahaikra bachi. Sinu ra ehevu tov hatzigu b'shar mishpat ulai yechanan Hashem el kitzvos. Same kind of a thing. You know, avoid ra and love good. And keep justice. Maybe that will Hashem will be mechanein us. Same thing. Kuli hai ve'ulai. Rav Yosef, kimati lahaikra. A little bit of a different thing going on here in this next thing. Rav Yosef would cry on the following pasuk. V'yesh nispe belo mishpat. Pasuk in Mishlei. Yesh nispe belo mishpat. The implication being, it's possible to die without earning it. In other words, it's possible to die anyway, even if you didn't deserve it. Amar, miyikah diyazah belozimni. Or maybe not Amar. Unclear exactly who's wondering about this. Maybe it's the Gemara asking, is this really possible? Is this really what we believe, that it's possible that you could die when it's not your time to go? Gemara says, yeah, in. Yeah, we believe that's possible. Kihad Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, because of the following story that we're taking seriously here, that Rav Bibi Bar Abaye havish kiyach kabe malach amaves. He would occasionally get to shmooze with the malach amaves. And once they were, I guess, chatting, and malach amaves tells him, "Amar leila shluchei." So this Malach HaMavis either is reporting this, or this is happening and Rabibi is watching. The Malach HaMavis tells his assistant, his intern, Zil Aisili Miriam Megadla Seyar Nashaya. Go bring me Miriam the hairdresser. Meaning, bring me, meaning, go bring her soul to me. Go and kill her. So Azil Aisila Miriam Megadla Dardiki. So he makes a mistake. So he brings a different Miriam the teacher. Amar Lei. So he looks, and he looks at his, he says, what'd you do there? Ana Miriam, Megadla, Seyer, and Ashaya, Amrilach. I told you, bring Miriam the hairdresser. Amar Lei. Ooh, okay, fine. No problem. I can fix this. Yacha Yahadre. Let me bring her back. Amar Lei, what? Oh, well, I see, say, Leavi Levinyana. All right, you brought her here already, fine, we'll keep her, and we'll just check off another soul we captured. So now where Bibi asks, like, hey, wait a minute, hey, Chayachlisla, wait a minute, how were we able to kill her if it wasn't her time? So then he gives him an explanation. Well, you know what she was doing, Habis Nikita, Misara, Biyada, Babakash, Shagra, Macharya, Tanura. Well, you know, she had this poker, and she was leaning into the oven, and she was holding the poker, and shekalta v'yanchas agaba dekara. Well, so I kind of pushed her a little, or I kind of pushed her legs a little, and kadacha v'isra mazla, v'aisisa. So, yeah. And presumably this has something to do with the fact that, well, so she was in a very perilous situation, and whenever you're in a perilous situation, then things could be different. In any case, we'll have to see what happens next week on this story.
Stay tuned. Yeah.